It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. We're going to listen this morning to the sounds near the front lines of Mali's civil war.
A rebellion in that country has captured global attention. Rebels who've taken over half the country have been imposing a harsh version of Islamic law.
After months of retreat, the Malian government has finally made an advance. In the last week, French airstrikes and ground troops have helped government forces retake the strategic town of Djabali. It's the first major victory in the fight to reclaim the north. NPR's Ophébia Quist-Arkton traveled to that town.
This is the entrance to Djabali village, and I am surrounded by five burned-out, bombed-out pickup trucks that belong to the Islamist rebels. Now, they were hit by French airstrikes, French bombs. So all around me, littering the sandy ground, are bullet cases, and there's a mortar shell there and a rocket-propelled grenade. On the pickup behind, some huge heavy weaponry mounted behind the van.
Mimicking the sound of gunfire, Kadiatou Sissoko describes the jihadis' occupation of Djabali and the heavy fighting that followed last week. Troops from Mali and France battled to dislodge them and cut off the rebel advance south towards the capital, Bamako. Madame Sissoko says she fled from her mud brick house, taking refuge out of the range of the rebels until they were chased out of town. Like many other residents, Madame Sissoko says the insurgents have nothing in common with the people of Djabali.
Who are they? We don't know them or the religion they're trying to impose on us here. They are not Muslims. We know true Islam, and what the rebels are peddling is not genuine Islam. We don't know anything about cutting off people's arms, legs, and ears as punishment. That's not in our culture.
Al-Qaeda-linked fighters seized the vast northern desert region of Mali last April after hijacking a rebellion by separatist Tuareg nomads. The rebels have imposed harsh Islamic law in areas under their control, amputating limbs, forcing women to wear veils, and banning music, smoking, and watching television. The jihadis are reported to allow terrorism and trafficking to flourish in a notoriously lawless zone. A worshipper at Djabali's handsome sun-baked earth mosque tells us that instead of the muezzin calling the faithful to prayer, the rebels would fire twice in the air to signal prayer time. The chief imam is Ibrahim Maiga.
I am angry at them. I studied Islam. I know everything they know. Not one of the rebels came to my home or to the mosque to see me. If they were true Muslims, they should have looked for me, because I am the religious leader here.
A loud bang as French forces destroy ordnance they say well-armed Islamist fighters purloined. It took considerable firepower by the French and fighting by Malian troops to be able to wrest back control of Djabali from the jihadis. French Captain Antoine says the Malian and French armies working in tandem are formidable opponents.
If I were a jihadist, I wouldn't try. They are trained, they are mobile. We are also trained, we are mobile. So we are ready, we are trained, we know the environment, and I'm quite confident in our troops. I'm confident in my Malian counterparts.
That confidence could be shaken by allegations of summary executions and retaliatory killings of supposed Islamist collaborators by Malian soldiers this month. France-based International Federation for Human Rights says Mali's army is behind more than 30 killings. Human Rights Watch, based in New York, has also reported rights abuses by Malian soldiers. The French Defense Minister, Jean-Yves Le Drian, says it's a matter of honor to ensure there are no such violations. Ophébia Quist-Arkton, NPR News, Djabli.